WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what's up, beautiful people? Happy Monday. Yes, the weekend flew by. And if you're like me, your eyes are still recovering from watching all of that basketball this past weekend. Yes, the NCAA tourney is in live and full effect. And how's your bracket looking? Mine, I just about burned all 20 of mine. They're all in the garbage after, it was a rough weekend, to say the least. But hey, Michigan and Michigan State are still in it, folks. Yes, Michigan State got a big win over Harvard. And Michigan also advanced to the Sweet 16 with a win over Texas. We will be diving into both of those games, kind of breaking them down and giving you our thoughts and predictions as MSU and Michigan now head on into the sweetness of 16. And also, we'll talk about a few of the upsets and surprises in the tournament. I tell you what, that Wichita State and Kentucky game, man, what a game. For me personally, it was the most exciting game I watched all weekend. I mean, two teams, kind of like two boxers, just in the ring, just going back and forth, trading blows back and forth. What a game it was. There were a few others, too, that were just great games. A lot of great basketball over the weekend. How about Stanford, folks? Yeah, man, I tell you what. Again, my bracket, though, it's in the garbage. My bracket is certainly in the garbage, but we will break down who's still alive and who's still alive and kicking. And, again, we'll dive into that MSU and Michigan Sweet 16, both W's this past Saturday. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on it, our phone lines will stay open the entire hour. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. An exciting week here on Current Sports as well. Later on this week, I just kind of give you guys a rundown and what to preview this this upcoming week throughout the week. As far as guests go, we'll be talking with Greg Mitchell, the Langsburg boys basketball coach. He will be on the show tomorrow to talk about the Langsburg boys basketball season, the March Madness. And, of course, he's really, really good friends with Luke Pohl, the PW boys basketball coach. PW, unfortunately, losing in the Class C state championship this past weekend. We'll dive into that as well, and you get to hear from Luke in just a sec on that game and that loss. It was an incredible moment, though, because even after that loss, folks, Current Sports, I was there. I made the trip down there to cover that one. Even though PW did lose the Class C state championship, I mean, you know, they are such a prideful team. I mean, they held their heads high. You know, they smiled and, you know, and they accepted the loss and took it with a lot of dignity. I mean, it was a great moment. And just to even for, you know, PW to make it that far, what a remarkable season to them. And definitely want to tip my hat off to them and that program. So you get to hear Luke later on in the show. And, of course, Luke will be my Current Sports TV guest later on this week on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. as we record each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. For WKAR TV. If you want to come out and enjoy a great time, last Wednesday was great with Dwayne Herring and the girls, Grand Ledge girls gymnastics team. A packed crowd, one of the biggest crowds we ever had. And PW looks to bring a lot of people this week as well. If you want to be a part of the fun time this Wednesday at 6 p.m., do so by simply signing up for free at WKAR.org. And also, folks, baseball is right around the corner. It's already actually kicked off for both the MSU baseball and softball teams. MSU baseball team actually had a game this past weekend against Ohio State. But we'll be chatting with Jackie Joseph, who is the MSU head softball coach. She will also be on the show later on this week. And also we have a pretty cool guest who knows a lot about mixed martial arts, to say the least. Such an inspirational guy who actually used to live in Japan for quite some time. So we have a full plate of guests for you in store as the week goes on. But today we are focusing on the NCAA tournament, and we'll be diving into that and dissecting Michigan and Michigan State and the overall bracket as it sits right now. If you have any thoughts on it and want to express how your bracket is doing, you can do so by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. Just a quick announcement, too. A really, really cool taping that is occurring this week. at the WKR TV studios. It's the latest documentary from Independent Lens. It tells a story from Indiana of a high school basketball team and a small rural town whose fates are intertwined. Really cool story. You can join us at WKR for a short preview of the film and discussion with Bath Township Treasurer Jeff Garrity and boys basketball coach Gabe Sawa. Now, they'll share their thoughts on similarities and differences between how basketball can impact a struggling town, as revealed in Medora, and in their mid-Michigan community. Now, to reserve seats for WKAR Community Seminar featuring Medora, you can do so by signing up online at WKAR.org. A really, really cool documentary, and should be a very intriguing discussion when you talk about, you know, just athletic programs that start from the bottom and, you know, just try to rebuild and just bring the community together. I mean, that's what high school sports and sports should be all about, and that should be a very interesting discussion. All right, ladies and gents, well, let's kick off the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 24th, 2014. Again, it has been one crazy NCAA tourney thus far, as it is every year. Now, again, later on today's show, just after the headliners, we'll be breaking down what has happened so far in each respective region. But a quick update on the weekend action when it comes to the Spartans Wolverines. Both are tasting the sweetness of 16, as Michigan State got a win over Harvard on Saturday night, 80-73 the final. They will now play Virginia on Friday in New York. Yes, at Madison Square Garden, a 9:57 p.m. tip time. Michigan advanced to the Sweet 16 with a win over Texas, 79-65 the final of that one. They will now play Tennessee this Friday in Indy at a that's a 7:15 tip time there. And you can't forget about the ladies. The Michigan State women's basketball team, they cruised to a convincing win over Hampton yesterday in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. A 91-61 rout. Wow, what a win for them. They will now take on North Carolina in the second round tomorrow night, a 7:10 p.m. tip time. And talk about home court advantage. They play North Carolina in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Oh, man, that's, yeah, talk about home court advantage, folks. All right, now the Michigan women, they didn't make the NCAA tourney this year, but are competing in the NIT tourney. Now, they beat Stony Brook on Friday, 86-48, and will now move on to play Duxbury tonight at 7 p.m. at Chrysler at the Chrysler Center. So that should be a great game there. So the women are still alive and kicking, and how about that win for the Michigan State women's basketball team? 91-61, 30 points. My goodness. All right, and the magical season again, the magical season that was for the Pomona Westphalia Pirates sadly came to an end Saturday when the PW boys basketball team, they fell in the Class C state championship to Detroit Consortium, 61-44, excuse me, the final of that one. The Pirates did rally back from an 11-point deficit in the first quarter, trailing by just 2 points at halftime and taking a 34-32 lead 3 minutes into the third quarter. But the Cougars went on a 19-3 run from there to run away with the state championship. You'll get to hear from Luke Pohl and his thoughts right after that win later on today's show, so stay tuned for that. Looking to shore up a hole at shortstop created by Jose Iglesias' shin injury, the Detroit Tigers, they traded utility man Steve Lombardozzi to the Baltimore Orioles for veteran Alex Gonzalez. Now, Gonzalez has played 37 years old, has played 15 seasons with a .246 career batting average. He'll compete with newly acquired Andrew Romine, who the Tigers picked up from the Angels in exchange for Jose Alvarez earlier in the weekend. Now, Lombardozzi was acquired in the Doug Fister trade in December and never saw regular season action as a Tiger. Now, while the Tigers made several deals for a replacement at shortstop, they were unable to finalize one for ace Max Scherzer. Now, the organization reported that Scherzer turned down a substantial offer and talks will be tabled until after the season. Now, Scherzer, the Cy Young winner last season, recently signed a one-year deal worth $15.5 million. Now, he figures to be a top free agent at the end of the next year and could be looking at a contract worth $24 million a year. We'll also talk about that later on in the show. Again, 517-355-9527 if you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of that. The Red Wings, they blew a two-goal first period lead and lost to the Minnesota Wild in the second game of a home-and-home series this past weekend. Now, The red-hot Gustav Nyquist had both opening period goals, but Matt Molson's goal earlier in overtime sealed the win for Minnesota. The Wings won Saturday's matchup 3-2 and have moved their way into the Eastern Conference playoff picture. They'll visit the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night. And Mike Williams, who currently plays for the Tampa Bay Bucks, has been stabbed in the thigh at his home residence. Now, the stabber reportedly appears to be his brother, Eric Baylor, who now has a warrant out for his arrest. Now, Williams sat out most of the 2013 season with a hamstring injury and signed a six-year, $40 million contract recently. He also is facing trespass and criminal mischief charges. So Mike Williams stabbed by his own brother. That's crazy stuff. All right. And, you know, on Monday, phone text revealed today, well, this morning, actually, that the girlfriend of Oscar Pistorius, who, of course, is on trial right now for allegedly murdering his girlfriend. The girlfriend told him that she was scared of his short temper and jealousy in the weeks before Oscar killed her. Now, one message read, quote, "I can't be attacked by outsiders for dating you and be attacked by you, the one person I deserve protection from." So a bunch of messages just kind of alluding to the fact that his girlfriend was afraid of him. So interesting stuff there. And Tiger Woods. And now, it was suggested earlier this month that Tiger Woods could miss the Masters this year after withdrawing from his most recent tournament, the Honda Classic. Now, on his website, Woods said it's still too soon to know his status for the Masters, saying, quote, "For Augusta, it's actually a little too soon, to be honest with you. That's kind of the frustrating thing. I've had a couple of weeks off working on trying to get ready for Augusta. As of right now, it's still a little too soon. And as I said, it's really, really frustrating." So Tiger is unsure of the Masters. That will certainly be a turnoff for me if he is not playing. Definitely want to see Ty play. Ty, get well. I want to see you at the Masters, brother. All right. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know the number. 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. Share anything that's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And yes, you can tweet me, Twitter followers, at Al Martin WKAR. And also want to remind you all again, WKAR's Current Sports TV tapes this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. This week, I will be sitting down with Luke Pohl, who is the head boys basketball coach for the Pomona Westphalia Pirates. Again, their season is just now ending with Luke's first ever trip to the state championship, the Class C state championship, the PW Pirates falling to Detroit Consortium. I'll be talking to Luke about this incredibly magical season. You'll get to see all of the highlights from that game against Detroit Consortium, as well as the post-game reaction from it. And, you know, and you also get to hear it on today's show later on, so just bear with us on that. But yeah, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience this Wednesday night at 6 p.m., you can do so by signing up online at WKAR.org. Okay, well, Matt and Alex now join me. And also, again, we have some great students who work on the show here at for Current Sports each and every day. They are here in our WKR radio studio, slaving away on the show, trying to improve it each and every day. They are doing such a spectacular job. And, you know, throughout the week, we started last week inviting those students who work on the show to be a part of the show live on air. And today, we welcome another one. What's your name? Just introduce yourself to the people, my brother.
All right, my name is Max. Thank you very much for having me on the show, Al. From Chicago, big sports guy, and I'm just happy to be here with you guys today.
Yes, Max does a great job. Guys, how was your weekend? Matt and Alex, how you guys doing? Good weekend? How's your brackets doing?
Well, that's the thing, and I want Matt to kind of lead this discussion, but him and I are making a policy that we're not going to talk about brackets on the show.
No brackets on the show. It's that bad, huh? I burned all of mine.
It's not so much that it's bad. It's just that it really doesn't matter anymore. I think the quality of the games over the weekend should take – you know, first, you know, cut on discussion. They were so good. The quality of basketball,
they were.
The entire weekend was insane. I feel like talking about your bracket, it's like talking about your fantasy football team. Nobody else really cares.
But it's easy for us to say no, because I tell you what, my Chase is listening too. He listens each and every single day. He never calls in though. Chase, I know you're listening, and he is actually leading our bracket pool. And I tell you what, he rubbed it in my face left and right this entire weekend. So it's easier for us losers to say, but yeah, the winners out there are certainly gloating to be honest with you. But I agree. The quality of basketball this past weekend was off the chain. Let's be honest here. And guys, let's dissect it. Let's keep it local real quick. Michigan State getting the win over the Crimson. Harvard got a little scary there for a little bit as Harvard made a little run. A big run, actually, in that second half. A 26-8 Harvard run. But guys, just to break it down, I guess I'll kick it off. Brandon Dawson's activity in that game throughout the entire game. 26 points, 9 rebounds for me. Clearly the X factor in that game. Brandon Dawson has looked great after coming back from that that hand injury. And just his, like I said, his activity throughout that game, I mean, being the garbage man. I mean, give him a green jumpsuit right now, guys, because he is cleaning up everything. I mean, rebounding, getting those gritty points when they need them. I mean, he's been unbelievable, and Brandon Dawson really took off in that game. Gary Harris, for me, was money down the stretch. When MSU, like I said, during that run, that 26-8 run, when MSU needed a bucket, guys, Gary Harris came up big, and he had 10 of his 18 points in the final 8 minutes and 42 seconds of that game. Like I said, when MSU needed a bucket, Gary Harris was a complete man. He's NBA ready. We've seen it from him. And I think he's really starting to show the world just how good he is. Now, we've seen flashes of it this season, and I always go back, even to that stretch when he was struggling, guys. I think now Gary Harris is starting to figure out where, because even though Gary Harris, I mean, he, like I said, he hit buckets when he needed to, but he impacted the game in other ways as well, guys. Defensively, he was also great, I thought. And facilitating the game well, too. I mean, he found players. He found his teammates when they needed to get open and hit down shots. I mean, Gary Harris is really starting to come into fruition and show the world just how good he is. I thought he was great. Those two guys, I'll kick it off. Those two guys for me were great. And also Denzel Valentine. I'll save my thoughts for Denzel Valentine in a second. But guys, just initial thoughts from that game.
It was terrifying. The second half was really, really scary. Harvard is a really good team.
They are.
I mean, they played tough. You knew they weren't going to fold. You knew they were good. They had something in them. I didn't think they would take the lead. I didn't think they would play quite as well as they did in the second half. But for me, the biggest thing is the play of Travis Trice. Keith Appling was terrible. Well, I mean, let's be honest.
He did not
have a good game Saturday night.
At 2 points, I think.
And he struggled with fouls. He wasn't playing defense either. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if you're not scoring, but you need to be having a positive effect on the game, and it wasn't happening. But Travis Trice coming off the bench, filling in admirably, running the team. Harvard makes the big run. They take the lead on the three, and Trice calmly comes down and knocks down maybe the biggest shot of the season to take the lead back and kind of stem the tide a little bit. So I think Trice coming up big, all the injuries this year, he's really blossomed for me. And I think he can be a leader going forward, maybe throughout the tournament and definitely in the next year. I think Travis Trice is kind of breaking out right now.
I agree, Alex.
He is. And along with Trice, guys, how about Dawson? How about Dawson?
Career high for the man.
Not just a career high, but it was almost like he was a running back that couldn't be stopped. Just like plowing into the lane at every possession and just throwing up uncontested layups. All of his points were uncontested layups. And it's not that there were people guarding him. He was just so big-bodied. He has such a large frame in the middle that, like, the Harvard big men just couldn't match up. Is it just me? Listeners, is it just me?
No, Alex, I totally agree with you. I mean, Brandon Dawson, like I said, I mean, if there was a missed shot that was clanked off the rim, you better believe Brandon Dawson was in the vicinity trying to get that loose ball. I mean, and he cleaned up a lot of stuff, man. He's been that guy, throughout spurts of this season. And we're really starting to, for me, the biggest thing with me is, and this has been a problem that I've always harped on with Brandon Dawson, just the way he approached games for me. That's the problem I always had with Brandon Dawson. Like, he would just approach games and just didn't seem into the game. Now we're seeing a stretch of Brandon Dawson where he is active from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. And that energy is bodes so well for this MSU team and is so valuable for them. But I agree, Alex. I mean, and his athletic frame, I mean, he's so athletic. Not only is he big down there, he's strong and athletic. And that down low can create havoc for you, especially when you got another guy in Adrian Payne, who we haven't even mentioned yet. Max?
Yeah, a couple big things. I think the biggest thing was going back to what Matt said, talking about Travis Trice. That shot to me was undoubtedly, that was the biggest shot of the year, like Matt said. And I think we all need to start talking about Travis Trice a little more, especially when it comes into going into next year. But going back to Brandon Dawson, I think is the moment he stepped on campus, his name was associated with X Factor with this MSU team. Mm-hmm. And these last three... 3-4 games throughout the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. He's finally living up to it. Like you were saying, with the energy, he's there every time. And the big thing was, at halftime, I watched the entire first half, and at halftime, when I heard him say, one of the announcers, I think it was Gottlieb, said, oh, Brandon Dawson has 18 points, right? And it was 2 minutes left in the half, and I looked at my friends, I was like, is that serious? He has 18 points already? And you know, that's when MSU is playing their best, when when Dawson is putting up 18 points in the first half, and I'm looking around saying, I thought he had 6.
Right, exactly. That just shows his efficiency. It doesn't have to be loud. I mean, he's doing it in a way that's quiet, but effective at that. You know, MSU, I mean, how they plot these games, you know that Adrian Payne and Gary Harris are most likely going to go out and ball out of control. But it's always been that question. Who is that third guy that's going to step up? Is it going to be Trice? Is it going to be, Valentine? Is it going to be Dawson? And when that third guy steps up and has a big game other than AP, and Gary Harris, MSU has success. And we're seeing that right now.
Yeah, and like you said, with Dawson being engaged from the start, I think a lot of that had to do with how MSU started defensively. Mm-hmm. You know, Harvard started out the game with a couple turnovers, and MSU got to get in transition and make some highlight plays, and you could tell everybody was in it. It looked for the first 5 minutes like MSU was going to just blow them out with their athleticism, and Harvard obviously battled back, but you could see that when they're able to run the floor early and get a couple of big plays, you can see the confidence level just rise for everybody.
Yes.
And that was definitely an encouraging sign going
forward. Yeah, and like you said, you talk about getting out on the break. I mean, in transition, Michigan State is the best basketball team in the nation once they start running. Once they start running, it's a wrap. It's a wrap on it. Guys, we have a caller really quick. Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing, brother?
How you doing, man? Thanks for getting. I want to shout out two high school teams. Then I'll talk to you NCAA right quick.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Grand Rapids South Christian High School because they haven't won a state championship, but they made it to the final game. And they football, they soccer team, they volleyball, they girls volleyball, and they girls basketball team. They
I didn't know that. I didn't know that, Mike. Wow, they have great athletic programs there. I didn't know that. Wow.
All right, and also I want to give a shout-out to Milan for winning the state championship since 1948, and also to Muskegon for winning a state championship in high boys basketball since 1937. What I liked about the Milan game was the guy, Ed Davis, the guard, that he's coming back for his senior year. He made 7 3-pointers the final, in the Class B final. Here's my NCAA question. I noticed that a lot of the NCAA teams are in zone, using zone defenses like the 1-3-1 and the 2-3 zone, because a lot of the games were so competitive this week, and they was entertainment. They was really good. What I want to know is when the teams start playing the zone defense and everything, is it college kids? Is it takes time for them to learn how to penetrate the zone and be able to score over the top of it, or be able to work the zone?
What's the question, my own? As far as
I'm talking about the 2-3 zone, the 1-3-1 they use, a lot of college teams, they use the zone defenses. I noticed Michigan uses it. I know Michigan State doesn't use the zone defense. I was noticing that about the Syracuse team. They always play zone, but I noticed that a lot of college teams, they can't find a man open in the zone or in the middle of the zone. And I just want to know, does it take time for college kids to figure that out, or is they just some college kids, it takes a while for them to figure them out in the team?
Gotcha. Right. I see what you're saying then. Well, as far as the zone defense goes, I mean, personally, guys, I like to see the zone defense at times, especially when you talk about a team, which we'll get to in a second, like Michigan, they just shoot the blood out the ball. And if you look at the Texas game, I mean, they were shooting 53% to start that game. Texas actually set in the zone to try to slow down Michigan to a degree. A 3-2, I believe, is what they ran. Going to zone is kind of a change of pace type of thing. If a team is on the run, or if a team is shooting high, if a team is getting too many points in the paint, it depends on what zone. If a team is just killing you inside, you may go to the 2-3 zone. You have an extra man down low. If a team is killing you from the outside, you go for the 3-2, add a third man on the perimeter to try to slow down in that regard. But, it's not like, teams don't see it. I mean, in college, you see it more so in college, I think, than the pros. And I think by now you should definitely learn how to navigate around it, if you ask me. I mean, that's my take on it.
Yeah, zone defenses, I feel like And part of this is because of the rule changes, the freedom of movement kind of stuff. So I think you're going to see a little bit less man-to-man just because it's so much easier to pick up fouls.
Exactly. You saw that yesterday, I mean, with the Wichita State game.
And, you know, Texas playing a 2-3 against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
In general, could Texas have had a worse strategy on how to play Michigan?
It's
why would you play a 2-3 against a team that is known for shooting threes?
Right. It's exactly. You know, because you talk about never... if anything, go to a 3-2, you would think. I don't get
if
that.
If anything, play tough man-to-man defense and try and work it out. But I just don't know what Rick Barnes was doing. I don't think I'll ever know what Rick Barnes is doing in the NCAA tournament. That's why he's such a terrible tournament coach. But I feel like teams go to the zone because they don't think the other team can shoot over it. Mm-hmm. And if you have a team like Syracuse who exclusively plays a zone, I mean, their 2-3 zone is different than pretty much any other 2-3 zone just because they specifically target kids who are a perfect fit for that system. You have these long, lanky guys who can get out, run guys off the three-point line when they get those looks. So I think you see schools kind of recruiting to their defensive system, which may be a zone. And then just the overall skill level of college basketball. Yeah, kids are going to make wide-open threes.
Right,
but if you can kind of play a zone and still limit the good three-point looks, that's a really tough defense to get over. Because
and I remember
it's tough to get inside against a zone.
It definitely is. I remember going, you know, having flashbacks to when I played high school ball. I mean, the zone is all about movement. You have to move. You can't just sit in the zone and expect, you know, different zones in the area where the ball goes for guys just to be lazy and one guy to get over there. It has to be fluid movement. It takes a special program to run a zone. Now, again, my coach used to say this all the time. Zones are cop-outs, in my opinion, because when Michigan State, you never see Michigan State, a great defensive team like Michigan State, they never run a zone defense because they're great man-to-man defenders. Every defender on Michigan State is arguably a great defender, and that's why you never see MSU relax into a 2-3 or move to a 3-2 or 1-3-1 because everybody can guard just about anybody on the court. So to me, it's a cop-out in some respects. So, but yeah, thanks a lot, Mike, for bringing it up because that is a good that's a point when we talk about Wichita State. I mean, you saw Fred Van Vliet when he got into foul trouble. He had four fouls and was in there with 3 minutes left, and they ran to a zone just to try to, you know, limit his you know, him reaching in and picking up a cheap foul and getting out of the game. So I definitely see it. We saw it a lot yesterday. But, guys, if there's any points of concern, though, for MSU going forward, it is fouls because we saw a lot of chippy fouls for MSU, especially with the hand-checking rule. Guys, I saw the hand-checking rule about four or five times throughout that game against Harvard. Just real chippy fouls here and there. And again, there was a brief period of just MSU being stagnant, which worried me. It definitely worried. When Harvard went on that 26-8 run, they could have easily the MSU team. Well, we saw a few stretches during the later part of that season. The MSU team that we saw during that part of the season, I thought was going to rear its ugly head. I was afraid that it would. But again, they fought off. It was a test. It was a test, and MSU did a great job of fighting off that run, slowing down the game, and getting key shots from key guys like a Trice, like a Harris, and not only did they shoot well, for me, really has been the emergence of Gary Harris out of that entire stint that he was in, is Gary Harris is starting to realize that, hey, I got a pretty good step, and I can beat you off the dribble, and I can go to that hole, maybe pick up a foul, or slam a dunk on you. And that's what Gary Harris is certainly doing right now, guys. We have another caller really quick. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how you doing, guys? It's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
You know, I think when Coach Izzo hugged Tommy Abaker at the end of the game, I think he whispered in his ear, thank you. Thank you for that type of game. MSU needed that because things were seemingly becoming a little bit too easy. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see a little adversity, although we've had adversity all year, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's nice to have a closer. It's nice to have a Coon Scottage. And Gary Harris is the closer. All game, he was quiet, silent. Mm-hmm. But he can go get his at any time. Brandon Dawson is our key. I'm a little concerned about his hand. He injured it again, so I'm curious to see what the status is.
Well, the update on that really quick, Dave, it was released today that they've looked at his hand. He looks to be okay. It was just kind of a stinger.
Well, that's very encouraging news. And it is nice that Travis Trice is upping his game in the tournament. You know, Coach Izzo can feel confident to stick him in early if Keith Appling is not getting off. But lastly, a shout-out. Coach Izzo, please, whatever you do, sleep, on the doorstep of Josh Jackson's house. That boy is.
Isn't he good? Were you there at the game, Dave?
I was there.
Oh.
I was there.
Yeah.
And he is, next thing I'm seeing Irvin Magic Johnson around here.
He's good. I was there too and saw him.
Whatever we need to do, whatever we need to do, we need to get that guy. I'm out. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave. Yeah. And, guys, we'll get to talk about Jackson later on. I was at that game, that PW game. Guys, if you haven't seen Jackson play, he's good. He's not good. He's great. And there was a time, like I said, PW made that run. Josh Jackson said, give me the ball. Hits a three. Comes back down. His teammate misses a shot. Put back dunk. Then turns around, hits another jump shot. I mean, it was unbelievable. We'll talk about him later on the show. Josh Jackson, he's great. We have another caller. Bill, how you doing, Bill? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, good. I'm doing good. I know Tom Izzo will never use it, but I thought they could have used the zone against Delaware. They just seemed to step quicker, kept doing that slash in, and we got 27 fouls. I'm going, for God's sake, just have them get in front of them. You know,
right.
I don't know if the player's just reaching in too much or what, but it just drove me crazy. I mean, we would have beat those guys by 35 points if we, you know, don't have 27 fouls. I don't know what to do about it, but they just seemed like a step quicker than some of the guys that that we were defending them with.
So you would like to see MSU use zone a little bit more, huh, Bill?
I don't think he's ever used it.
I
don't think he ever will.
Right, right.
And I, you know, I can't argue with his success. But against a team like Delaware that just keeps, you know, has that stutter step, slash in, stutter step, slash in, slash in. And our guys keep, you know, keep getting foul after foul after foul and getting taken out of the game. And they essentially take us out of our game. I'm thinking a zone defense would be easier to defend against that kind of offense.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, to slow things down. I can see that, Bill. Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, Bill, for the call. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but I can't remember if you guys can remember any time throughout this entire season. I don't think MSU has ever used zone throughout this entire season, though. But yeah, as far as my points are concerned, guys, though, rebounding really stood out to me. Usually, you see, you know, MSU out rebound their opponents at least by double digits. In this one, it was only a 34-32 rebounding advantage, which is pretty alarming to me. And again, fouls are definitely a concern for me. Because you saw very early MSU kind of get into some trouble with a few guys as far as foul trouble was concerned. Adrian Payne. I mean, just fouls. I mean, and like I said, you see the handshaking rule. In that game, for me, it stood out a lot because there were about four or five times that I alluded to where I was just like, whoa, you know, I mean, is that a foul really? And they're going to call it every time. Fouls are definitely a concern. If MSU can limit that, and just continue this consistency. Denzel Valentine, I got to give him a shout out too, because Denzel Valentine, I thought, had a great game of finding others. He hit big shots, and he also was a man on the boards. Even though you look at that rebounding advantage, he definitely contributed, though, in even making it an advantage at the end of the game. He had 6 points, six assists, and seven rebounds. And how about 17 assists from MSU, guys? Unbelievable. That's definitely worth noting, too. I mean, this team is definitely sharing the ball, getting others involved, and just racking up the W's right now. But if I have any points of concern, though, is those fouls, and if they can limit those, because the whistle was blown left and right that entire game. Final thoughts on that game, guys?
I just think that for Michigan State to move on, Travis Trice might have to play like that every game. I hate to say it, because the way that Keith Appling hasn't been scoring as much as he did during the regular season, I don't know if you've noticed it, guys, but last game, I think he only had maybe two shot attempts the whole game. He doesn't shoot like that, even when he was more of a facilitator. So I think that Trice is going to have to keep up that scoring like he has. And Al, he said
4-on-5.
What?
4-on-5.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get into that. But listen, I mean, he said it to us. Al is Travis Trice during the Big Ten tournament had a crazy. He was driving into the lane. The shot clock was
winding down.
Buzzer beating layup. He's making some spectacular highlight shots. And we asked him that, is this the best basketball that you've played, and is this the best basketball, you know, that you guys have been playing so far in the tournament? And you could tell Travis was smiling. He's starting to get into a groove. So I think that that needs to stay intact during the tournament. And if he doesn't, I'm not sure. So he might be my new X factor, guys.
Max, final thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with what Alex is saying. And I think especially Going back to the fouls, my concern is where MSU goes if, say, Adrian Payne picks up two early fouls and is sitting on the bench for, you know, 10, 12 minutes in the first half, and then maybe Gary isn't hitting shots. You know, is it a Trice who picks up the slack? It doesn't look like it's going to be Appling at this point. Maybe Valentine, again, maybe Dawson, but he's not a guy you just throw the ball to and say, here, get us 10, 12 points. Right. So, you know, that's where my main concern comes in.
Yeah, you talk about that run. I mean, that's exactly, you know, when Harvard made that 26-8 run, I mean, like I said, it was a brief period where MSU was just completely stagnant. I mean, AP was in foul trouble. They were trying to look to see who that go-to guy was. And thank God, you know, certain guys like, you know, Gary Harris and the Trice woke up. Matt, anything?
As far as the fouls go, it's not so much that they're committing them. It's where they're committing them. They have to cut out the fouls that are 20-plus feet from the hoop because they get called for so many, you know, seemingly ticky-tack hand-check calls.
Oh, we saw it a lot, yeah.
But, you know, it's got to be something they're doing because other teams, you don't see that happen. I mean, certainly not to the extent it does to Michigan State. So they got to just clean it up away from the basket because if the Harvard game was any indication, they're going to let you get away with stuff on the interior mm-hmm. because Harvard right. was coming down with, like, three guys just swarming the ball, everybody swiping, mm-hmm. nothing. But so I think interior, you can be as physical as you want, but mm-hmm. when you're out on the perimeter, you got to keep those hands in because they're going to call it every time, and that's when you get yourself into trouble.
But the key is it was all in the second half. The first half, Harvard wasn't swarming. The first half, Michigan State wasn't following. It was all in that second half. So there was something that happened between the two halves, I think, that led them to start fouling more, or maybe they were getting too antsy. They wanted to pull the game away and just blow them out. I don't know what it is, but
well, you remember Brandon Dawson kind of went quiet in that second half to start it because he got a lot. He got a bulk of his points. What, 18 points at halftime?
I believe 20. He had 20.
20 points. Yeah. He only scored 6 points in the second half. So Brandon Dawson kind of went quiet, and MSU was like, okay, well, our bread and butter is not hitting anymore. Who do we go to? And it was that time period where they were just trying to figure out who was the go-to guy in that moment. You know what I mean? It kind of slowed things down.
And they're still not there yet as far as getting that knockout punch.
Exactly.
They let teams hang around. And I know that's part of the NCAA tournament and that, you know, teams are never going to quit and you're going to have guys make runs in the second half. Mm-hmm. But MSU needs to develop the killer instinct quick because if it happens this weekend, they're going to be going home because Virginia's too good to let hang around in a game. When you have somebody on the ropes, you have to land the knockout punch, and they just can't seem to find it yet.
I totally agree. I actually tweeted that during the game because Harvard did a great job of staying within that 10-point range, and it ended up to, you know, biting MSU in the butt in that second half. Pachu on line one. How you doing, Pachu?
All right. I'm still riding shotgun with you guys. My boy's still in it. So.
That's right. That's true.
It's fun, man. I hope we meet, too. But anyway, I want to comment on the zone. I hate to see it used in the junior high and high schools because you really don't develop individual skills. You can win a game, play a zone, and those cats don't have individual skills. So it's really sad. Mm-hmm. I think it takes a lot away from the game, to be honest with you. Is it effective? Yeah, it's effective because you put a bunch of people in front of a guy, he freaks out unless he has incredible individual skills. And if you take a look at I saw that high school game, Jackson, phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
Man, that guy was phenomenal.
I know, right?
And you know what? It wasn't an assistant that beat that beat Palomo or Xavier. It was an individual who had individual skills. And too many times we emphasize the X's and O's, and you have to develop skills. And I think defensively, a lot of players don't develop because they have coaches that love the zone. If you take a look at I think he was called Jimmy Tubbs or Tubbs from Oklahoma.
From Oklahoma. You guys remember?
Oklahoma.
No.
I'm trying to think of Stacey King came out of that program and Mookie Blaylock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was before your time, man. You probably still in the crib.
Still a baby. Probably still in the womb.
Yeah, you were still a baby, man. But anyway, he had these guys who were all Americans. They got this pros and they stunk because all they could do was run fast breaks. All they could do was layups and jams. They couldn't post up. They couldn't pull up or none of that. But they would blow teams away by 30, 40, 50 points, a lot of cupcakes and so forth. But it caught up with them in the pros. But anyway, I saw the Michigan State game too. That was a good game, man. Good game. You got to really appreciate how somebody from the Ivy League can come up and play that strong. But I will say one thing: the Michigan State loss in that game was that sense of on the part of their opponents of invincibility. They looked very beatable, and Virginia, if they had blown out, in the downside, if they had blown them out, they might have been overconfident. But I remember when. Iron Mike got knocked down by Johnson in Japan,
mm-hmm.
people weren't afraid of him anymore.
Right.
And so Michigan State does not look invincible. Personally, I think they're going all the way, and I think they got the half-court offense and the fast-break offense to beat anybody. Virginia's going to slow down, I think, because that's what Bennett does, like his daddy.
Exactly.
But I think Michigan State can deal with that because they got some incredible post-up players. And Dawson just makes a tremendous difference. They're all important parts. So I think they lost that whole fear that people had of them. You know, that's why everybody was picking them to win everything. But they look beatable. They look very, very beatable.
They did in that second half. They did. Hey, thanks a lot, Apache, for the call. Appreciate it, man.
You guys take care, man.
You too. I definitely see where Apache's going with that. And, you know, you start to see that chink in the armor. But I think, like kind of, you know, what Dave alluded to, I think that was a good thing for MSU because, personally for me, just cruising through the tournament, getting blowout after blowout after blowout, it's hard to hone in on the little things that you're doing wrong to get better. And MSU, during that stretch, there was a few things that kind of were highlighted that they need to improve on. And for me personally, I like having that battle-tested type of adversity because it shows in those moments when you are facing adversity like that, when you're down and the other team is making a run, it showed that MSU has a go-to move and has guys that can step up in those moments. And you need those type of moments if you plan on being a national champion in the NCAA tournament. So I personally liked it. So, all right, guys, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about that PW game as they lose to Detroit Consortium and Josh Jackson's unbelievable performance in that game. You get to hear from Luke Pohl as well as Lane Simmon in that game who led the Pirates. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, the magical season that was for the Pauamo Westphalia Pirates sadly came to an end on Saturday. Now, PW fell in the Class C State Championship to Detroit Consortium, 61-44, the final of that one. The Pirates did rally back from an 11-point deficit in the first quarter, trailing by just 2 points at halftime. Took a 34-32 lead with 3 minutes left in the quarter. But the Cougars went on a 19-3 run led by Josh Jackson, sophomore, from there to run away with the state title. Great season, great game, still a magical moment for PW, who hasn't been to a state championship in the entire tenure of Luke Pohl. I actually talked to Luke Pohl and also Lane Simmons, who led the Pirates on that day, about the incredible moment afterwards, and they were not hanging their heads, ladies and gents.
Going through the tournament like that, the process is a lot of fun, and I know our guys have had a lot of fun, and I think they're going to look back on this and really be proud of themselves. You know, the thing is when you play your butts off and you give everything you got, and we're all healthy, we all feel good, everybody got up in the morning, I think that's the big thing of the day anyway, and I think a lot of it is just the attitude of our kids. I think one of the things that had to do with it was being at St. John's Risa yesterday and seeing the kids that struggle and stuff, and you know, when you have nothing to be ashamed of the way you play, you should leave with your head up. And that's how I feel. You know, I mean, you can get knocked off earlier in the tournament, and it could have happened to us with some of those close ball games. But, I mean, the memories that these kids have created for themselves and obviously for me is just a dream come true. The character of the kids, you know, these kids care so much for other people. They're just good kids. It's I'm just so lucky and blessed I've had the opportunity to coach. I mean, I'm going to be 56 years old. I never knew if I would get the opportunity to be here. And for me to be here personally and to bring my team is, I just couldn't feel any better about it.
Luke, what are you going to miss the most about this season?
Well, I'll miss my players. You know, I mean, with Nick, I did the individual workouts with him for the last 4 years. Last summer, I finally took off about a month and a half with him, and it's the longest time I've been away from him in all those years. So, you know, we've got some great memories with those guys, and I'm really going to miss those guys. They are just great kids.
Is he one of the most talented players you've ever coached?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
What made him so special?
The thing that makes him so special, he was never satisfied. You know, he always wanted to get better, and he wanted to get stronger, and he put a lot of time into it, and he was an unselfish player.
You know, to go back to the mood, when I watched you guys during that trophy ceremony, there were no tears, there were no heads down, there were just, you guys kept your head up. And, and that's something that I will remember throughout that ceremony. I mean, is that kind of the mood of this team right now?
Oh, certainly it is. You know, the thing is all you can do is lay it out on the floor. And if you do that, you shouldn't hang your head. An achievement of being runner-up in the state tournament in Class C to a team like this, I think our guys are extremely proud, and they should be.
Disappointed, but then again, you just got to look at the whole long-term picture, the fun we had, and just take the good things out of it. You can't be dwelling on the past, or the bad and stuff. So,
when you look at this ride to get here to a state championship game, I mean, how many teams can say they've gotten here? Are there any consolation prizes in that regard for you guys?
I mean, we'll definitely take a lot out of it. Really fun experience with all of my friends and stuff, my brothers. I think we'll take a lot of that stuff out from our friendships and remember them more than like we'll win.
What are you going to remember the most about this season?
What's that?
What are you going to remember the most about this season?
Just hanging out with the boys after like Friday night games and stuff, ping pong, PlayStation, Xbox, pool, all that stuff. Just hanging out with them, having fun.
You know, Lane, when you guys took that lead early in that second half, I believe, it seemed that I said to myself, here come the Cartier kids, man. To sustain that, though, had to be tough for you guys down the stretch. I mean, what was the message throughout that game, though, just to stay in it?
Just keep fighting. That's what we do all season. That's what got us this far in those, like, Shelby and Flint Beach games. Just kept fighting to the end, and this time it didn't work out, but, hey, I'm proud of my teammates. We fought hard.
When you guys talk, you know, after this one and maybe on the ride back, you know, to PW, what are you guys going to talk about, you know, just to kind of remember the good side of things here?
Oh, I'll probably talk about some funny things that happened, just all the memories that we made on the way and just how much we like each other, you know, just our friendships.
Lane, if you could sum this season up in one word, what would that word be and why?
Fun. Just because I was hanging out with my boys, you know, just doing what we do, just having fun, making a run, whatever happened, happened.
Gotta love high school kids. Just having fun, making a run, whatever happens, happens, baby. Yeah, that's as Lane Simmons and head coach Luke Pohl after falling just short of a Class C state championship to Detroit Consortium. Guys, it was a remarkable ride for this season. It was truly a pleasure watching Luke Pohl command this unbelievable squad, a senior-laden team. I believe only about two or three, you know, players that weren't seniors on that squad. So it would definitely be a rebuilding year, to say the least, next season. But, you know, kids like Nick Spitzley, he came out there and had a great outing. Lane Simmons, who I believe is only a junior, he will be back next year. He had a great game yesterday. And just to see Luke Pohl, who was such a – you talk about a humbling figure and a coach that you want to look up to and aspire to be like – he is certainly that guy. I actually had a conversation on the phone with him before Current Sports today, and you know, he talked about just reminiscing on the season and memories. And you know, when I talked to him on the phone, guys, he was actually kind of, you know, putting together this canned food drive for his charitable organization that deals with autistic kids. And you know, he talked about in the interview, real briefly throughout that interview, how the day before he had it's a really cool event that he does each and every year. Him and his team, they actually put on this event where they have the PW Pirates boys basketball team play basketball against autistic kids to try to raise awareness of the disease and just to, you know, bring some light and joy to those kids. And it was such a inspiring event. And Luke, you know, he's really hands-on with the organization and does a great job. An inspirational guy, a humbling guy, and it couldn't have happened to a better coach to make this run to a state championship, guys. It was great to cover him again. We'll have Luke this Wednesday night at 6 p.m. as a part of WKR Current Sports TV. If you want to be a part of that audience, sign up online for free at WKR.org. As far as the game is concerned, guys, PW had a great run, but I tell you what, when they made that run, it actually had that one-point lead again. You've heard our callers allude to it. Dave, and I believe Apache was at that game too. This Josh Jackson kid is for real. He actually was the AP Class C Player of the Year this season. He's a sophomore, 6'6", not real big. His build reminds me of kind of Tayshaun Prince. But he goes out there and he can take you inside. He can take you outside. He can post you up. I mean, really no weakness for that. He plays great defense. I mean, he is unbelievable. It was a pleasure to get a chance to watch him play because I didn't know much about him until PW's semifinal game before the state championship game. And Fred Heumann of Channel 6 was telling me about the kid. And I was like, all right, well, let me see him play. So, I went down there Saturday to cover the game, and this kid is amazing. I mean, he had 22 points in that game, I believe 9 rebounds. When they needed a bucket, they just went to him, and he performed. So, he's going to be special. I don't know if – have you heard about him at all, Alex? I know you're a big Rivals guy. I don't know.
I've heard the name. I haven't looked really much too into him. But what? After talking about Detroit schools versus Mid-Michigan schools when it comes to basketball, nice to see a Detroit school win.
It is. And make
some kind of statement with the way Detroit basketball is going with prep. So.
Yeah, I agree. Matt?
Everything you read about him makes it sound like he's going to be the it guy in 2 years. And you say he's built like Tayshaun Prince. He's also, 16 years old?
And he's 6'6", dude.
Right.
He's got more growing to do.
And he's going
to
grow. Exactly. So by the time he gets to college in the NBA, he's probably going to be a few inches taller.
Mm-hmm.
He says in interviews that he can play the 1 through 5.
Any position.
I've heard people compare him to Carmelo Anthony. Like, I just watched Carmelo Anthony play. And it's when you're getting that kind of praise heaped on you as a sophomore in high school, it's tough to live up to. But if he does, boy, oh boy.
World, watch out, man.
Can't miss. Can't miss, guy.
Without a doubt. And Izzo, like I said, Izzo should be sleeping at that dude's front door. He actually averaged 28 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, and 4 blocks. Crazy.
Those are average.
Those are averages.
Wow. Insane numbers.
Insane in the membrane. Again, 28 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 4 blocks, averaged throughout an entire season. Yes. Unbelievable. Your jaw hits the floor when you think of that. All right, guys. Before we close out this show, we got to talk about Michigan. Michigan got a win over Texas to keep their Sweet 16 dreams alive and well. Guys, throughout that game, shooting is what this team does. In that first half, they shot 53% from three-point range. But they went cold. And it's the team. This is the thing I harp on every time I talk about Michigan. Even though they're a great shooting team, probably the best shooting team in the nation, in my opinion. But when they go cold, how do they combat that? And we saw kind of, what happened in that game. In the second half, they went 3-for-11 to start the second half from three-point range. And then, again, Jordan Morgan has had just spurts of greatness, especially at the end of this past season, a few times in the tournament. And then we saw it against Texas, where I thought he was really going to struggle going against Cameron Ridley. But he didn't. He outplayed Cameron throughout that entire game, if you ask me. I mean, if you look at Jordan Morgan, he had 15 points and 10 rebounds, a double-double for him down low. And when they went cold from the three-point range and couldn't find shots, Jordan Morgan held his own down low and got a few garbage buckets that were key down the stretch in that game. Nick Stauskas as well. Nick Stauskas, we all know he can shoot the blood out the ball. But Nick Stauskas he's added another repertoire to his game, and that's facilitating the game. He actually had a career high as far as assists go. He had 8 assists, tied for his career high, 8 assists to go along with his 17 points. I thought that was key. Glenn Robinson III, again, that jump shot of his is starting to show. Definitely. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds. And get this, guys, only 4 turnovers throughout the entire game for Michigan. They kept they took care of the ball. And a lot of it has to do with Spike Aubrey, too. I thought every time Spike Aubrey comes into the game, he's getting big minutes now. I think it's because John Beilein is starting to realize that this guy can really facilitate the game and take care of the ball when they need to. I mean, he didn't have any turnovers for him. And 4 of the 5 starters in W figures for Michigan. It's a good game as the tournament moves on. But the only concern for me when it comes to Michigan is when the shots go cold, what heats up?
Man. Yeah, I mean, they definitely need that extra counter. And I still don't think it's there yet. I know Morgan, made some big plays.
He's not
down the
consistent,
stretch,
though. That's the thing.
And it's not like you can just feed him in the post and let him go to work. He's more of a pick and roll guy. And if you're playing against a team with bigs who are accustomed to guarding that, like Cameron Ridley. He's a big fella, definitely. He's a big boy.
It's huge.
He's not really going to be adept at covering the pick and roll. I think he's going to be more of a post defender. So going forward, Tennessee, I think, is an interesting matchup because they're long and they play good defense. They're good on both ends of the ball. They're not kind of unbalanced like Michigan where it's all offense all the time. I don't think they're as one-dimensional as Creighton was, and obviously saw what happens to Creighton when the shots weren't falling.
Exactly,
they get run out of the gym. I don't think that's going to happen to Michigan. I think they're more capable than that and well-rounded than that. But like you said, when the shots aren't falling, because they could not miss in the first half.
Not at all. I mean everything they threw up.
It was a video game.
They were in the boat, and the bucket was the ocean. It was unbelievable.
Exactly. But when those shots aren't falling and when it's for a sustained period of time, where does the offense go?
Right, I agree. Alex?
Yeah. The thing about Michigan is, aside from the shooting guys, it's they have a lot of depth. I mean, like you said, Spike Albrecht. I mean, he's a guy that can come off the bench and not turn over the ball. You look at any other team, I mean, how many sixth-man or seventh-man players, point guards, come off the bench and never turn over the ball, play very solid defense? I mean, besides maybe Travis Trice.
Yeah, Trice was that guy for MSU this year.
I don't know if there's anyone else. So yeah, I mean, he's definitely made a statement. I know, you know, looking at other teams, I know Florida has a variety of different guards they can pull, but yeah.
They definitely go deep.
That's the thing about Michigan. And, guys, I would argue now, at the start, Michigan State may have had the easier road, but with all the upsets, I think Michigan now has an easier road to the Final Four than Michigan State.
That's arguable, yeah. Max?
You know, the thing about Michigan, and I definitely agree, they really don't have too much to turn to if those shots aren't falling. But the thing with Michigan is, like you said, they had four turnovers. They're never going to turn the ball over, and they're not going to foul you. They never foul you. So they're not constantly giving up easy buckets where the other team's in the bonus, you know, with 14 minutes left in the half or something ridiculous, the kind of stuff that happens to Michigan State.
Right.
So even if they're not shooting, they're making it, they don't play great defense, but at least they're making the other team make shots.
Yeah, they definitely play smart. I mean, and that game started to cruise in that second half because, like you said, there weren't a lot of fouls called, and Michigan isn't a team that eludes a lot of fouls. So, I mean, yeah, Michigan definitely moving forward, and that's a good point, Alex. I mean, now when you look at the bracket in the Midwest region, they do, if you compare it to other sports in the region, you can argue that they do have an easier road to the Final Four, especially when you talk about Michigan State, who's playing. That's going to be a very good game this Friday against Virginia. Guys, we didn't get to it on today's show because we had a lot of callers. Thanks a lot for the callers. But tomorrow, I want to debate a little bit about Wichita State because Wichita State, I thought there was an unbelievable game against Kentucky. Great game. But for me, it was the most entertaining game of the tournament so far for me. But, guys, when I look at, you know, I constantly look at that region, that Midwest region, and how the experts pick Wichita State in that region and looking at the powerhouses in that region as well, I kind of go on the fence as far as saying was it fair enough for Wichita State to have such a tough road to try and get to a Final Four compared to the other number one seeds in the bracket? Because I kind of felt as though it was unfair. Wichita State, looking at all of the teams in that region, they would have to beat to get to the Final Four. I understand that the experts are trying to test to see how good this team is, but it's unfair to a degree when you look at the other number one seeds, seeing as though their road wasn't as nearly as tough. So I kind of had a problem with that, and we all know, even though Kentucky here, what were they, an eighth seed? Kentucky's not an eighth seed. Let's be honest here. Let's be real here. Again, their season was an up-and-down roller coaster season, but at the end of the day, I'm not buying that Kentucky was an eighth seed. That game right there had a feel of a national championship game. You can't tell me that Kentucky's an eighth seed. I wasn't buying that crap at all. And I want to debate about it if Wichita State got kind of the short end of the stick, because I feel as though they do. I don't know. Final thoughts on that really quickly? That'll kick off tomorrow's discussion.
I mean, Kentucky was definitely head and shoulders above any other eight or nine seed. I mean, of the third round matchups for the ones, they were clearly the team you didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, by far. But I thought Wichita State, for all the people that might come out today and say, oh, you know, they were a paper tiger, they weren't for real, undefeated in the regular season because they played nobody. They were absolutely for real. That was a classic, an absolute classic, and I mean, Klee Anthony early.
Oh, how do you not go to him in the final minutes?
He was the best player on the floor. You can have all the freshmen you want. That guy
was unbelievable.
On the mark.
Van Vliet has spurts of greatness, too. Van Vliet was very good.
And he struggled. He was about the one guy who struggled because Ron Baker was hitting crazy threes.
Oh, he was crazy, too, yeah.
Klee Anthony early. That dunk before the end of the first half.
Nuts.
And then the three-pointers he hit down the stretch. That guy's a pro. He's going to be a good player in the pros.
I agree. I guess we'll kill our discussion tomorrow because I want to definitely dive into that. I got some strong thoughts on that, man. It was upsetting to see both Wichita State and Kentucky just playing that type of game that early. It was great to watch, though. Unbelievable game. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKRE's Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic start to your week. And be easy, people.